Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Visualize where you want to be and where you want to go. That's the secret to all the dreams. Person you dreamt about. Work hard with passion. Passion is your key to your attitude. You are a key to everybody. People watch you. People want to be around you because of who you are. When you have adrenaline and hope, ladies and gentlemen, that's all you need is hope. Determination, you will get through obstacles when they show up because you have character and you have courage and you're committed.
Daniel Rudiger, the inspiration.
Never quit. Great things happen.
37 seconds remaining.
Man, I am so excited to be here with one of my heroes, Rudy, who has been such an inspiration in my life. And we're going to ask you some questions about not giving up and having goals. But before we do, I love it that you live right here in Las Vegas with us. And so of all the places you could live, why Las Vegas?
Well, you know, that question's been asked me many times. I think because of dreams, the feeling. It's a big dream out here. Yeah. What you dream it, you can build it type of thing. And it's very exciting. The people you meet and all the different things that are happening now. Well, look what's happening in hockey. The Vegas Knights. Now we got the Raiders coming in. Yep. New baseball stadium being built. Yep. Great family environment, atmosphere now. Yeah, the whole thing's changed. I really love it.
Yeah, cool. So we've been doing a series called Don't Give Up, talking about how to overcome obstacles and achieve your dreams. And your story is so inspiring in that way. And so what was it that gave you the dream? You know, you have this dream to play at Notre Dame. How did that dream develop in your life?
You know, it's interesting. The feeling that you get, I talk a spiritual feeling you get, that's what kind of stimulates the dream. Being positive, having that imagination work, not worrying about where you're at, but worrying about what you're going to do. And that all came from going to church. It all came from being around real positive people. School was a challenge for me. Then you get around positive coaches, positive teachers. As long as you stay positive, that dream will develop.
Yeah.
And that's the key. And I said, get rid of your goofy thoughts. Therefore, it won't stop you from dreaming. So goofy thoughts stop you from dreaming. So I eliminate goofy thoughts by not hanging around goofy people.
So when you say goofy, you're kind of talking about negative
naysayers. Yeah. They steal your joy.
Yeah.
I don't tell people my dream because they'll steal your joy because you don't know how they look at you. I'm not worried about how people think of me. I'm more worried about how I look at God and how we have that connection and how we spiritually talk.
Yeah.
That's what's important for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I loved in your book, you talked about you walked into your coach, Eric Persigian's office, and you told him your dream. You said, I am going to do this.
Yeah.
Do you think that that bold confidence of stating your dream helped you to eventually achieve it?
You have to be bold to certain people.
Yeah.
So you go to the leader that you want to be around and tell that leader, I am going to be part of your team. Period. He remembers that. They're not going to question who you are at that moment. They're just amazed by your spirit, your heart, your yearning, because they're connected that way. They will recognize that. Good leaders.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's good for us because, you know, we have dreams that are kind of simmering behind the surface. But I think, you know, going to a trusted friend, going to a leader in your life and saying, this is my dream, saying it out loud, just kind of emboldens you to take those steps towards the dream.
And again, it's being around the right people telling your dream.
Yeah.
You don't allow yourself to allow people to steal your dream or your feeling,
right.
Your joy. That's the key.
I love that. So tell the dream, but to the right people.
To the right people.
Yeah. So, you know, such an amazing story. The movie captured it so well, inspired me. But what were some of the low moments, you know, in pursuing this dream of I'm going to play at Notre Dame? What were some of the times when you were tempted to give up?
Every day, maybe, because it was so hard.
Yeah,
I had to get to Notre Dame academically first. That's first and foremost. Mm-hmm. That was a challenge because I didn't do well in high school. I was kind of put down in high school because I had a learning disorder, which we didn't recognize at the time. It was dyslexia. And I couldn't comprehend certain information until I went into the United States Navy. And they corrected that by collaboration, how to collaborate properly, getting the right answer from the right people. Wow, what a game-changing moment for me. So that became very important for me. So I used that same model coming back from the Navy, getting into the junior college, getting into Notre Dame by having people help me get there.
So those moments, you know, the school part, which is such a great part of the story, that before the football part, there was having to get an Notre Dame
academically.
But then you had the football part of, you know, hey, I have this dream, I'm going to play on the team, and you're told you're not fast enough, not big enough, not strong enough. What were some of the days where you were tempted to just quit on the football dream?
Well, when you're on entitled athletes. Mm-hmm. I say entitled, which the guys actually gave up, but they're still on the team. They're the naysayers. They're the ones who are going to come around and say, why are you out here? So I just positioned myself. Position is very important. Mm-hmm. Position myself around the right players to continue. Mm-hmm. When you're on the wrong, you get that feeling, maybe I shouldn't be out here, or maybe I should look for another occupation.
Right.
This is not going well.
Yeah.
And every day was a challenge, but every day I got a little insight, a little positive feeling from a teammate that kept me going.
Yeah, because it's so easy, you know, when you hear a story like yours to think, you know, hey, here's a guy who accomplished his dream. But hearing you say, I was tempted to give up every single day.
Yeah, and I'm not up here because of success. Mm-hmm. I'm up here because of failure. And because of failure, I was not afraid to fail. Therefore, I learned from my failures, and that's how you become successful.
I love that. So you talked about that in your book as well. You said that you quit at a bunch of things until you learn the power of failure.
Right.
I love that. What do you mean by that?
Well, the failure means you're trying. Sometimes we take failure. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I can't be. You tried. That's the key. You're a winner if you try. Most people never try because they're afraid to fail.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to fail because you learn how to win. Because you don't win unless you fail.
Right.
So it's a real good understanding of how to mix that together. Then you learn something very positive. Failure is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's only bad when you don't try.
Yeah, I love that. You know, we've been talking in this series about how the people who do succeed, it's not that they had an easy path. It's that every time they got knocked down, they got back up.
And I think everyone knows that, but they need the courage to do that.
Yeah.
We're not saying anything new because they hear it over and over again from people, but it's the fact that they have the courage to understand that and get up and just try it again, because you learn from each mistake. Well, I tried so many times getting in Notre Dame, but I learned too by building relationships, because I committed to 4 semesters. The big thing is patience. When you have patience with yourself, great things happen. And understand, it doesn't have to happen right away.
Right.
It happens in God's time.
Yeah.
So just know that, just like the movie, I learned that too.
Yeah.
So I didn't put pressure on when is it going to happen. I put
keep moving
forward and stay positive.
That's so good, because I think a lot of us, we have this dream, but it's like, well, it hasn't happened yet, so it's not going to. But I love that you were like, no, it's not about when, it's about like keep holding on the dream no matter when it happens.
It's that feeling.
Yeah.
Keep initiating that feeling. Yeah. A dream isn't real until you have the feeling. A dream is a fantasy when you don't have a feeling.
Right.
But when you have the feeling, it becomes a real dream,
real
goals, real setbacks, and real step-ups. So all those little things happen for a reason.
Yeah, I love that. Your setback is your step-up.
Right.
Yeah, that's good, man. So it sounds like the things that allowed you to overcome those days when you wanted to quit were, you talked about your faith, you talked about the power of the dream that you had, and the power of having positive people in your life
who are an influence on you. So let me ask you this. You know, I know for a lot of people, it's like, well, I have this dream, but you also have to take actions to accomplish the dream. There's habits you build into your life that get you to the goal. What were some of the actions and the habits that you had to build to get yourself onto that field in a game at Notre Dame?
Well, everything's a progression of a reality. Mm-hmm. And you need those little steps, not big steps, little steps. Yeah. I always tell kids, you know, you want to be successful. Just because you make your bed doesn't mean you're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. But making your bed when you don't want to means you're doing something that you're uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. When you go out of your comfort zone and do things, that's when you become successful. And those are the things I had to learn.
Huh, that's great. Just that discipline.
That discipline, when we don't want to do something, you do it. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to study, you do it. Go ask for help. Do something. Just don't stand there and say, well, it's not going to work for me. That's because you're being influenced by certain thoughts. Where are you getting your thoughts from?
Yeah.
Change your thoughts will change your life.
Mm. I love that. Change your thoughts will change your life. So when did you first have the dream, I'm going to play, I'm going to be in a game at Notre Dame? How old were you, would you say?
That was progression of reality. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can dream playing in Yankee Stadium. You can dream by, I'm going to play football at Notre Dame or play for the Green Bay Packers.
Sure.
Reality isn't real until you progress into first things first. Then you can see, hey, I don't have to be the star. I can contribute to the football team.
Yeah.
I don't have to start. I can contribute to something great. Mm-hmm. So once I understood that being a contributor was a big deal, mm-hmm. to something good, something big.
Yeah.
Being part of something positive is better than being the guy or being the guy, mm-hmm. in a lot of people's eyes. The fact that I'm part of something good or tradition and all I had to do was contribute to something good made it possible.
Yeah.
The impossible became very possible.
Yeah, I love that. That's an idea that God talks about in the Bible, that he talks about we're the part of the body, and every part of your body has a different function.
Yes.
And you know, every part of your body isn't seen, isn't the star of the show, but we all have our part to play. And, and you got to a place where you're like, hey, I want to play my part at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So, you know, watching the movie, it's a two-hour movie, and so it feels like, well, this all happened in 2 hours, but really it was years, you know, between when you started to think these thoughts, I want to play for Notre Dame, and actually that game where you got on the field.
Well, and again, we don't show in the movie the Navy,
mm-hmm.
how it was a game-changing moment. So that's why we did our documentary, Rudy Ruediger, The Walk-On, and it shows that progression of everything that happened, reality. The movie is to entertain and to inspire your thoughts.
Well, it sure did.
You know,
it's great.
And to let you know everything's possible. But there's a whole nother level of journey that you need to see and talk about. Because life is like that. Life is not simple.
Exactly.
And we wake up, certain things happen. But you have to adjust to the bad as well as the good.
Yeah, I think we need to hear that because, you know, whatever the dream that we have right now, whatever that goal, I want my marriage to be good. You know, I want my kid to get on a different path. I want my career to be different. You know, you have this dream, but you don't realize, you know, people who achieve the dream, it's years of doing the right things over and over. It's practicing every day.
That's the key, you know, doing the things over and over. Sometimes you got to change the things you're doing over and over. The reason, if it's not working, change it.
Yeah.
You know? If it's not broken, keep going.
Yeah.
But mainly work on your attitude.
Yeah.
That's the key.
I love that. So in your book, you talked about that, you know, you say, man, never give up, never quit. But you say sometimes you have to change how you're doing what you're
and
doing.
And you need to quit on certain things.
Yeah.
But you know,
you
really need to quit on certain things that are not working for you.
Yeah, so you might have a goal and you might want to quit one of the ways you're trying to achieve the goal.
Right.
That doesn't mean you quit the goal.
That's,
it means you're
exactly
taking
a
better path.
And people misunderstand that. No, I'm not quitting. I'm just finding another way, like Notre Dame.
Yep.
You can't go to Notre, you don't have the grades. I was third in my class from the bottom in high school. Hmm. How could I go to Notre Dame? Never took an SAT and ACT. How could I go to Notre Dame? Well, there's another way.
Yeah,
you got to find that other way, and there is another way, mm-hmm. to get to where you need to go, and you find that through people that are willing to help you.
Yeah.
But you got to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not positive, you're not going to find those angels. Are not going to show up.
Yeah.
They just, you know, or you won't recognize that angel that wants to help you.
Yeah. whatever your goal is, don't quit on it. Maybe you need to quit on the way you've been going about it, but find a different way and have those people in your life who are going to keep encouraging you.
I call them angels.
Angels, I love that. Yeah. So at Verve, we talk about a Verve group, which is a group of you know 6 to 16 people get together once a week and encourage each other in your faith and whatever your goals are. It's those people.
I get inspiration from all kinds of people. Seriously,
sure.
I mean, I was in New York the other day, and the guy driving a limo inspired me because he was excited about driving his limo.
Yep.
And I would say, wow, that's really, yeah. He said, yeah, I worked behind a desk for 20-some years, and now I can meet people. I can meet great people. This is exciting for me.
Isn't that great?
That's how I get inspired.
I love that. So you're looking for inspiration. It's like, I need positive reinforcement every day.
I need to know that ordinary people don't have to do extraordinary things to be happy.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Hey, so... we've got a room full of people right now who have goals, who are facing obstacles. What would you say to them? What final message would you say to those people to encourage them that they can overcome and they can not give up and reach their goals?
First of all, let's get yourself in order. That's number one. What do we need to do to change you, to change your thinking, change your thoughts? That's number one. And number two, that means a little more work. Like me, I have to go to Lifetime Fitness and do my work because I have to do it. Or I need to do something I really, out of my comfort zone, I need to do. But I gotta feel good about Rudy is my point.
Yeah.
If I don't feel good about me, I can't project my positive, what I have inside me. So take care of yourself first. If you're gonna argue, there's no perfect marriage. Agree to disagree, but never violate something that's very important. Never have hatred. Have love. And it's hard to love.
Sure is.
It's not an easy thing to love.
Right. Yeah.
But eliminate hatred and envy in your life and be happy for people who succeed and you watch your whole life change.
That's awesome. That's great, man. Thank you so much. Thank you for your life.
Yes.
Thank you for the inspiration you've been to me. I told Rudy earlier, when my son was old enough to get it, I said, we're watching Rudy together.
Yeah.
He's probably five or 6 years old. We've watched it several times. Thank you for the inspiration you've been to
I
so many.
I have a feeling he's going to be making a Rudy.
He might be. That would be pretty cool.
He's in film school.
Yeah.
He's
so,
really...
thank you for...
I'm really excited about him.
Thank you. Thank you for spending this time with our church this weekend.
And don't forget about the Golden Knights.
That's right. Let's go Knights.
Get them.
All right. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank
God bless you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Man, Rudy is one of my favorite movies, and it was so much fun getting to sit and talk to him and hear encouragement from him. I love it that Rudy knew what he wanted. He said that it grew over time, but he wanted to play for Notre Dame. He had that foundational desire, and it has to start there, right? Like, you're never going to get to a destination if you don't know what the destination is. In his book, Rudy talks about the power of a dream, that it's a dream that keeps motivating you and helps you on those days when you do want to give up. And I wonder, what's your dream? What do you want to do? Like, if your life is going to accomplish something, if you're going to be remembered for something, what do you want that to be? What's your dream? And... beyond having that dream, but what consistent actions do you need to take to get there? What's the dream and what consistent action do you need to take to get there? You know, we see, maybe your dream is that you want a great marriage, or maybe it's that you want to lose 20 pounds, or maybe it's that you want to be a great parent, or you want to move into a new career. How do you achieve that? Because it's going to be hard, and there are going to be days where you're tempted to give up. So how do you achieve your goal? Desire plus action, right? You have that foundational desire, but then you have to take right, consistent action to get there. And this is true of everything. So Rudy showed us how it's true of making a team, but it's also true of losing weight. Like, you need that desire. You're never going to lose weight if you don't set that goal, but then you have to take right, consistent action, healthy eating habits, regular exercise. It's also true of getting good grades. You need that desire, and that desire will motivate you to attend class, pay attention, take notes, study. It's true of getting the girl. It starts with the desire. I remember when I first met the the lady I'm now married to, Jennifer. We were working at a movie theater together, and I saw her, and I got to know her, and then I was like, yep. I had this desire. She was the one. And so I went up to her in that movie theater, and I said, hey, girl. I see you in that polyester vest. How you doing, right? It starts with that desire, but then it's consistent right action. There's communication, and there's honoring the other person, discovering what you have in common. So this is true of everything, true of everything. One thing it's true of, I would argue it, the most important thing it's true of, but something we often don't realize is God. You know, some people feel like believing in God is the goal, and well, I do believe, so I'm good. No. It's not just believing in God, because God loves you and wants a relationship with you. And we want a relationship with him, right? I mean, don't we? Like, we don't want to just believe. It's kind of like with me and Jennifer. I didn't want to just believe she existed, right? Like, I believe in Jennifer. Like, what good does that do me? What good does that do her? No, I wanted a relationship with her. And now that I have it, I want it to be a growing relationship for the rest of my life. And with God, what I think we want is a relationship, a growing relationship with him for the rest of our lives. I mean, that's what's going to give us peace and joy and purpose and love. So how do you have a growing relationship with God? Same as with everything else, desire plus action. Desire plus right, consistent action. We see this in the Bible over and over. We see people who had a desire for God. Like the blind man who was standing on the side of the road, Jesus was passing by, and he starts shouting out Jesus' name. Everyone tells him to stop. But he will not give up. He wanted to know God. He wanted to be touched by God. And there was a woman who fought through this crowd of people to get to Jesus. She was not supposed to be there. It was almost impossible for her to get to Jesus, but she would not give up. She wanted to know God. She wanted to touch God. And I wonder, when it comes to God, do you have that desire? Do you just want to know him? Do you want to love him? Do you want to know him more? Do you want to be touched by him? It has to start with that desire. Now, if you don't have it, if you're like, honestly, no, I don't. Listen, I would not tell you, well, you need to get it. Like, you need to start desiring God. You need to start loving God. Work on that. It's not what I would say at all. I would tell you, you need to start understanding how much God desires you. You need to know how much God loves you. Look what we're told in the book of the Bible called 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then in that same chapter, verse 19, it says, we love God because he first loved us. And so the idea is, we don't manufacture love for God. Our love for God is a response to his love for us. When you realize how much God loves you, that he is crazy about you, it's pretty hard not to love him back. I mean, like you start to realize there's nowhere else in this world, there's no other person in this world that I'm going to get love from like that from. There's nowhere else I can get perfect, unconditional love. God desires us, and when we understand that, we desire him. When we know his love, we start loving him, and we start living our lives in his love. Look what else it says in that same chapter. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Desire plus action, right? Desire plus right, consistent action. It starts with desire, but then you have to take the right, consistent action to have a growing relationship with God for the rest of your life. And I wonder what right action you need to start consistently taking.
Rudy talked about sometimes when you have that goal, you have to quit habits you're doing that aren't producing the results you want and switch and find other habits that actually get you where you want to go. What habits you need to take to have a growing relationship with God? If you're brand new to all this, the right action for you might be just coming back next weekend. Like maybe you're here today because you heard that Rudy was going to be interviewed and that's the only reason you're here. I get that. I did not go to church one single time the first 20 years of my life, had no interest in church. If someone invited me, I probably would have said no, but if they said, hey, Rudy's going to be there, maybe I would have showed up. And maybe you're here today, but you have no intention of coming back again. But listen, you have a God who loves you and who wants a relationship with you. And that is too big and that is too good, too important to ignore. So maybe make a decision. I'm going to come back next week and the week after, like maybe this is a habit. Maybe I need to determine it if there's something here that I need. And can I encourage you to go to what we call Next Step? Next Step happens every Sunday morning at 12 o'clock right across the hallway in the Next Step room. If you've got kids, they can hang out in our children's ministry during Next Step. They'll love that. In Next Step, you will learn about this God who loves you and the life that he has for you and how you can step into his love and into that life. It is super practical, super inspiring. You could go today, like when this service ends, you hang out for a few minutes, have a coffee, and show up at Next Step. It's awesome. Today at 12 o'clock. Or maybe you're not quite that new to this, and even right now, you're ready to make a decision to start a relationship with God. Maybe you've never really done that. Let me just explain real quick how that works. So here's one more verse from 1 John chapter 4. It says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So the idea here is that we have sinned. God's plan for your life and my life is love. That's God's plan for our lives, that we are to really love him and really love other people. But we have all done lots of things that were not motivated by love. We've all sinned, but God still loves us. And he sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice. The word atone literally means to erase. And so the idea is that if we put our faith in Jesus, his death erases, it atones for our sins. And that's how you say yes to God's offer of relationship with him. That's what God wants you to do because he loves you and he wants to have a real relationship with you right here and now. And he wants you someday to be in heaven with him for all eternity. That is available to you, but it's not possible for what God wants because of our sin. God had to find a way to erase our sin, and that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. And that is available to you now, but you just have to say yes. Because God is not gonna force you into a relationship with him. He's not gonna force you into heaven when you die, but he made it possible through Jesus, and he is inviting you. And you say yes to his invitation by putting your faith in Jesus. That his death on the cross can make me right with God. And you can do that today. Like you could make that decision, let him know today. And then once you make that decision, you get baptized. You can do that 2 weeks from today. So baptism is a ceremony where a person's lowered underwater, then raised up out of water. Kind of like a marriage ceremony in that you're saying yes to God and to being in a relationship with him forever. Baptism also kind of has this imagery of like a spiritual bath. It's like you're becoming clean. That's the way the Bible talks about it. In Acts 22:16, for instance, it says, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So we are doing baptisms 2 weeks from today on Sunday, December 9th, Monday evening, December 10th. If you're interested, if you have questions about that, or if you're like, I'm in, I want to do that, you can sign up today at the Velcro bar on the iPads, and we will contact you, walk with you through that decision. Man, that could be your day. Like, how cool, how awesome would that be? If you're not new to this, if you already have a relationship with God, still, it's consistent, right action, building these spiritual habits into your life that is going to give you a growing relationship for the rest of your life. If you don't take that right, consistent action, here's what's going to happen in your relationship with God. You're going to feel like God is very distant from you. You're going to wonder if God is even real. You're going to wonder if God really cares about you. But it's when you build these habits into your life that you feel close to him. So I wonder what habits you need to build into your life. Maybe it's reading the Bible every day, taking a little time to read the Bible every day. We want to help you with that. And so at the Velcro Bar, we give out free Bibles. And we also have a Bible reading plan, which you can get on paperback there. If you go to vervecatalyst.org, there's a Bible reading plan there, and every day you can subscribe and get an email where it will tell you, hey, here's the chapter in the Bible, just take you a few minutes to read it for today with some questions and some background information. Maybe it's reading the Bible, maybe it's starting and ending your day with prayer, just like getting up and taking a few minutes to look forward to your day and invite God into it, and then at the end of the day, kind of reviewing your day with God. The really cool thing about reading the Bible is that when you read the Bible, you are hearing from this God who loves you. And when you pray, you are talking to this God who loves you. In fact, we're going to give you some time to talk to God here in just a minute. We're going to give you just a little bit of time to connect with him. And during this time, maybe you're at a place where you need to say yes to God and to his love, to tell him that you accept his invitation into a relationship with him, that you are deciding to put your faith in Jesus as your atoning sacrifice who can erase your sins. Maybe even that you're going to get baptized to celebrate that with him. During this time, we also have communion available. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. And we do that to thank him for his sacrifice and remember what he did for us. If you'd like to take communion, it's available on the candlelit tables around the room. Our band's going to play a song, and you can get up and get communion, bring it back to your seat whenever you're ready. All right, so let me pray with you, and then we'll give you some time to pray on your own. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being a God who loves us, who is for us, who invites us into relationship and who offers to help us so that we can rely on you every day. God, you tell us over and over in the Bible that it has to start with us saying yes to your invitation. And maybe right now there's some people in this room who have never really done that. We believe in you maybe, but never really said yes to your invitation, and we could do that right now. So God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for wanting a relationship with me. Thank you for sending Jesus and that he died for me, and I say yes. I put my faith in Jesus as my atoning sacrifice, believing that his death on the cross 2,000 years ago can erase the sins I've committed today and in my past, and looking forward to my future. God, I say yes, I put my faith in Jesus, and I give my life to you and to a relationship with you. Maybe some of you just said that prayer, and maybe the next step is to get baptized. Maybe some of us aren't ready for that, but we can decide to come back next week or to go to next step today or next week. And God, we all have dreams. And we all have goals for our life. And as we conclude this Don't Give Up series, would you please help us to take right, consistent action, to have that grit that will not give up, just like you've never given up on us. Thank you for Jesus. And we pray in his wonderful, powerful name. Amen.